From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kensel, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Ruth, you are the best. Thank you. We have got a fine, fine show for you today, but first, let me take you back, if I can, to 1977 in a theater in suburban New Jersey where a 12-year-old boy is watching Star Wars for the 10th time. Now, like many of the other adolescent boys around him, he's engaging in some wild thoughts about Carrie Fisher, who plays Princess Leia. But his thoughts are different than the rest. He's not dreaming of daring rescues or metal bikinis. He's dreaming of someday, maybe, being able to ask her silly questions about something she knows nothing about. Ladies and gentlemen, today, that little boy's dream comes true. Carrie Fisher will join us later, but first it's your turn. Give us a call, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Karen Schroeder from warm and sunny Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, you like rubbing it in.
Yes, we do.
That's great. Well, what do you do there in Phoenix?
I am a retired attorney.
Really? Why did you give it up?
I didn't love the law enough, apparently.
I understand. Well, the law still loves you, Karen. Mm. Karen, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to comedian Paul Provenza.
Hello, Karen. How are you?
Hi.
And next, say hello to NPR's own Allison Stewart.
Hey, Karen.
And finally, it's a humorist and the author of the new book, Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr., right here.
Hi, Roy.
Hi, Karen.
Karen, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle will now recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. Here's your first quote.
I thought about Mandela, Dr. King, and Gandhi, and try to put some perspective to all this, and that's what I'm doing now.
That was an embattled individual during an extraordinary media blitz this week, comparing himself to other persecuted figures, who ended up getting his own kind of martyrdom this week.
I'm surprised he never brought up Joan of Arc. It's a natural thing.
I know.
I think he is now.
Yeah.
I thought he would go right for the Jesus, right out of the gate. But nonetheless.
I believe that would be your now ex-governor, Blagojevich.
Yes! So on Monday of this week, the Illinois State Senate convened to try him in Springfield, Illinois. But this modern-day Gandhi instead took to the airwaves. He appeared on the Today Show and The View, Good Morning America, Nightline, The Early Show, SpongeBob SquarePants, in a convincing cameo as a slime mold, and finally, American Idol, where he impressed Simon Cowell with his rendition of Don't Cry For Me, Barbara Walters. He argued that the rules of the Senate trial were unfair, and that all the things he was taped saying, like his scheming to sell President Obama's old Senate seat, were, quote, taken out of context. Yes, because right after he said, quote, it's bleeping golden and I'm not giving it up for bleeping nothing, unquote, he then went on to say, we can use that bleeping money for bleeping poor children.
And now he's been taken out of context.
He certainly has. He ended his week, he returned to Springfield, and made an impassioned speech to the senators in which he invoked his poor daughters and his immigrant dad. In response, not only did the Senate throw him out, they all lined up to kick him in the pants. We've had so much fun with him over the last few weeks and months that I actually, and this is honest, almost immediately began to miss him.
Oh, he's not going away.
You don't think so?
No, he's
going to
pull
a Palin.
You
think so?
He'll be back.
He'll be back?
He'll be back.
Well, I'm just living in hope that the new governor of Illinois, a man named Pat Quinn, turns out to be a psychopath as well. This being Illinois, there's a good chance, actually.
I think it's part of the state's comedy initiative. To keep electing these people for just to generate material for the comic community.
Right. Right, so like in those children's school atlases, they have those little symbols of like what the state produces, like wheat, manganese. Ours has a little clown. I like that.
It's just a little icon. Just a little icon of money changing hands.
All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
Oh, my God.
That was House Minority Leader John Boehner. He was reacting to the size of what?
The deficit?
No, not the deficit.
The stimulus program?
Yes, the stimulus bill. Right. Very good. After binging for a decade with money we don't have, President Obama decided the only way out of the crisis is to spend almost $1 trillion we don't have either. This is like curing a hangover by buying a distillery. The Republicans don't like it. They don't like spending money on anything unless it blows up, like Iraq or Merrill Lynch. So the president brought his magnificent powers of persuasion to bear, his twin lasers of charm. And he held an extended meeting with GOP House members. He invited Republican leaders over for cocktails. And after all that, he got exactly zero of their votes. Nothing. Didn't work. However, the Republican members, many of whom actually asked to pose for pictures with him after their meeting, right before they all voted against him, they say it wasn't personal, and they hope the president will still keep his promise to let them friend him on Facebook. Because he's dreamy.
Oh, yeah.
Karen, here is your last quote.
Pandemic, contagion, crisis, catastrophe, disaster, fiasco. I'm not a big crunch fan. It's not a scary enough word.
That was New York Times columnist Joe Nocera, who was doing his best to come up with a cool, pithy name for what?
How about a hint?
Well, we're right in the middle of it, and we'll need
the
somewhere.
The economic recession.
Exactly, the current economic crisis, right? The Great Depression? It's called the Great Depression.
Getting close.
But what are we going to call this current trouble? I mean, you know, will children 40 years from now say, Grandma, what did you do during the post-millennial cluster bleep? Good name should reflect the depth of the crisis, perhaps hint at its cause. So we, wait, have like to suggest these names. The Great National Binge and Purge. It's the differently abled economy. And the United States in the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad investment return.
We should call it, instead of the Great Depression, we should call it the Severe Depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the stimulus package could include like Zoloft and Ben and Jerry's.
Right. The Clinical Depression.
The clinical depression.
Carl, how did Karen do in our quiz?
Quite well, Peter. Karen, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done.